the joys of the Pint of Science Festival, which is there. And as we already have been covering this, it opens up a whole variety of bits and pieces and aspects of life. And indeed, when do we actually call life life and so on? Development before birth, does it matter? One of the features that our Professor of Psychology at the University of Lincoln will actually be focusing on as far as the Pint of, Science Festival is actually concerned. And we're delighted to have a few words now with the aforementioned Professor Alina Rodriguez. How are you, Alina?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
Fantastic. Great stuff. Now, this particular element that's coming through that you're going to be speaking about, obviously, at the Pint of Science Festival, the environment before birth. Lots of debates, philosophical and physiological, about when can we actually start seeing that life starts, etc. We've had over the years people talking about how the kind of music that we actually play to developing embryos can have impact and so on. Just share with us some of the kind of things that you're going to be highlighting today in terms of this preparation for the outside world, from the embryo to, of course, the great appearance on the planet.
Yes. Well, humans aren't unique in that. We see that other animal species, also amphibians, birds, you know, the whole of the animal kingdom really does prepare ahead of the birth. And we think that this could be evolutionarily conditioned so that you have a better chance of surviving naturally. If you know what to expect and you can start to prepare, you're going to be better off. And that's the whole point here, that it could be evolution that is driving these changes to happen.
So does this also fit into the great nature versus nurture debate that we hear so much about every so often, that ultimately, you know, our genetic background, our blueprints that actually there provide such an impact in terms of how species develop?
Gosh, yes. Well, the nature-nurture debate, I would kind of say, it's gone. Nobody really tries to debate anymore. Is it nature? Is it nurture? But we're looking at the combinations between nurture and nature. So that is your DNA with the environment. So the DNA offers us the framework of what is possible. So outside of the DNA's limits, we can't reach, if we say that. So it's quite easy to find examples of that. I'm a normal statured woman. I'm not going to be 6 or 7 feet tall because it's not in my DNA. And so I'm very unlikely to reach that, or impossible to reach that. Now, there are certain diseases that make people grow way too much, but that is very rare. What we do see is that the environment can have an impact on that framework, so that you can do better, or you can do at the top of what your DNA has, or maybe at the bottom end of what your DNA allows you to be. The same stature there would apply. So it would be unlikely that I would be 4 feet tall because my DNA is for 5'4". So it would have to be dramatic events that would lead me, or it would be impossible for me to be 4 feet tall because of my DNA. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
So DNA makes the limits.
We've come an awfully long way since, of course, Crick and Watson actually decoded the strands of DNA and so on, together with Rosemary Franklin, of course. Is there a suggestion that actually genetic modification could actually be applied so that, I mean, some of the barriers that you've just been talking about could maybe be taken on board, or is that something which has not kind of been part of your research?
It's not really a part of my research, but it is going on, and the idea is to have individualized medicine in the future. This is still a long, long ways off. I work with geneticists, and we work with very, very large data sets across the world to try and pinpoint which are the genes that are affecting our well-being, our psychopathology, which is something that I study, children's attention, and so attention deficit hyperactivity disorder would be the disorder there that would be of importance to my research. And the thing there is that we find that it's a complex disorder where multiple genes are involved, and we can look from family studies and adoption studies and so forth and see that the heritability is over 70% for such a disorder. But that still leaves us quite a bit of room if we say 30% for the environment to have an impact. Now, with these studies that I was mentioning, even though we have tens of thousands of individuals that we're studying, it's still very difficult to pinpoint which genes it is and to come up to a 70% explanation. We can't. So we see then that the genes are much more complex than we thought they were, and that we need a very specific mix, if you will, of genes to lead to the disorder, thereby making then the environment even more interesting and seeing how that can have an impact on, yes, where we're going and the trajectory of our development.
Well, I've often said that, quote the late, great Carl Sagan, we are some of the things that hydrogen atoms can evolve into given several billion years of evolution. Perhaps at the Pint of Science Festival, we're addressing those as well. Now, unless I'm way off base, Alina, are you actually one of the early deliverers at the festival? Are you actually presenting this paper on development before birth on the 20th of May?
That's right, Monday the 20th, the first night.
Excellent.
We just have one ticket left, actually.
Oh, my word. Well, clearly people will actually follow through various other bits and pieces. Cafe Portico, the Terrace in Grantham Street in Lincoln, if you want to race for that particular ticket. How can people actually keep updated with your research online, Alina, in terms of is there a website that you actually have? Is there a way in which some of the published work that you've actually put together can be accessed?
Well, I have the link through the University of Lincoln, and you can find me there under the staff, Alina Rodriguez, and also you can find me on ResearchGate and LinkedIn.
So there we are, all of the usual social media networks and so on. And Alina, if I was to actually ask you in terms of if we were projecting ahead a little thought experiment, say 5 or 10 years in the future, how well do you feel that this particular area of embryological research will be developing? Is it an exciting area to actually be researching in?
Oh, gosh, it's a very exciting area. And there are more and more people getting involved in it. This kind of research started a long time ago, about 30 years ago, looking at birth weight and the connection to cardiovascular disease in adulthood. So actually it was an English epidemiologist, Barker, who looked at this connection and came up that it's likely that this poor fetal environment before we're born, leading to a smaller birth size and compromised growth, is having this impact on cardiovascular disease. And it's really been the last 15 years or so that it's expanded into looking at
this particular zone. Exactly.
On the brain.
Yes. Yeah, for a moment I thought we'd lost you there, but no, all was well with respect to that whole aspect. Again, the title of the talk, Development Before Birth, I should say, Does It Matter? A rhetorical question there from that point of view. There are so many other areas I'd love to actually spend time with your good self and actually talk about in the early Barker studies and so on. The Leonardo da Vinci quote, which I know you're going to be using in your presentation, absolutely fantastic. But for the moment, Alina Rodriguez, Professor of Psychology at the University of Lincoln, many thanks indeed, and I'm sure we'll speak again very soon.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for the interest in our work.